The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and This Week in Comics. For today, Thursday, October 3rd. Hey, the big news, this is the first time we've been on since the Spider-Man news broke, so we get into that. We have a bunch of other news. Obviously, we do all our books this week, so I think you know how it goes by now, so let's get into the store. Hey, John, how are we doing this week?
Oh, man, I am doing better now.
You got all your stock, I see. Everything came in today. That's nice to see.
Yeah, better now that all that's done. It was a hectic morning.
Well, the shelves are, like, sporadically taken. It looks like you sold a few, too.
I did.
Okay, good. So your customers were happy today.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad today. I actually had everything ready about a half hour after I opened because I was able to finagle a deal with my UPS guy to show up hour and a half before the store opened.
Oh, really?
So I had a longer
day. Do you have his cell number or something?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We communicate every once in a while, but he was able to get out early this morning. Actually, he called me, and I was sitting around here in my underwear, just chilling before work. And
John,
he called
John,
me.
Let's lose the illusion here. We are
it's not
at
the
home.
Nudie podcast.
We're
yeah.
not in the store because you're like, I'm pretending we're in the store, and you're like, I'm sitting around here in my underwear.
No, I would say I was this morning. I was telling a story
about
the past,
right
now.
Oh, okay.
I was sitting at home this morning in my underwear,
right?
You know, like I do before work, and my phone rings, and it was like the UPS guy. He says, "Hey, man, I'm leaving right now. I could be at your store in like 10 minutes." I was like, "Dude, I'm not even dressed. I'm sitting in my room looking at my iPad." He says, well, I can make two stops, and I can be there in 25 minutes. And I said, okay. And I live like 15 minutes from the store.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I'll be there. And so, you know, needless to say, I just splashed some water on my face, threw my clothes on, and ran out the door. But, you know, I welcomed actually getting it early because, you know, like I said, I was able to get most of it done before I opened. So, doesn't usually happen, but today it worked out pretty well.
That's cool.
So, yeah, you know, it's cool in the sense that they need to get on the ball, and this is like the third time in 6 weeks or so that my stuff hasn't showed up on Tuesday. So UPS/Diamond needs to get their act together and, you know, not make us have to go through this malarkey.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough griping about that. It all worked out in the end.
Yep.
Everything was on the shelf.
Everybody got their
stuff. Sold a bunch of books today.
Yep. That's good.
Yeah.
We got some news this week.
Yeah.
We got that little bit of that Spider-Man news. That happened just after.
I heard something about that. Yeah. I'm not really sure what you're talking about. I don't know that I haven't seen it on 9,000 posts on my Facebook page.
Yeah, exactly.
In the last couple of days. Yeah, so.
Well, Dr. Joe was the first one to get it to us. He tweeted it to Brightside, like, the moment it came. He must have been on his phone when it broke. So we got it, like, a minute after he did. And I replied with, well, what did I tell you when this first started? I'm like, it's
yeah,
much
I don't
ado
think
about
we were
nothing.
Super surprised. I wasn't
yeah.
super surprised. I know you weren't because, you know, we were both pretty confident that this would get worked out well in advance of having to shoot a movie. So, yeah, but that's awesome news.
Yeah. You know? It's,
I mean,
I'm
pretty happy about that. So,
and you know, live to fight another day, because now the speculation is, oh well, is there going to be more? People always want more. So
well,
a lot of people are like, it's only one, and then it's been pretty much confirmed. It's one and a Marvel movie.
It's one and an
appearance. Right? Which
so
like a
we
Civil
don't know
War.
What that. Yeah, we don't know what that's going to be yet, and you know that. Again, just the opening salvo, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
if they need them again, I'm sure they'll work their magic again. You know, Marvel has said that they were done with their story with Spider-Man.
Right.
anyways.
Well,
but, you know,
they wanted a trilogy, I thought, but yeah.
Well, but they had told their story through the civil, like basically the Endgame story was the story they wanted him for. Not that they don't want, like, I'm sure they'll figure out what to do with him, you know.
Right.
But yeah, even just finishing out the trilogy, because the thing is that, and I think that was the biggest motivation, even for Sony, because, you know, it was set up that way. It was set up to have a sequel. Like,
right.
You know, Far From Home was set up to continue on with Marvel properties attached to it. You know, Nick Fury and all this stuff was alluded to at the end, you know, of the last one.
Well, not
Nick Fury
really.
Played a big part in this movie.
Yes, he
well,
did. But they
slash the Skrulls.
The
but
way,
anyway, spoiler.
Right, but the way they, but that could have been separate. That could have gone on in the MCU. But the ending, the credit scene of Spider-Man actually could have gone on without Marvel
because it
was pulling back characters from previous Sony movies. You know, Jay Jonah.
It could have, right, but it's not the way it was intended. Like,
no.
I don't think that was their intended direction, and it works out. You know, I mean, you had the happy Aunt May story.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the Tony Stark. I mean, you had a lot of integration with the MCU. You know, they would have really had to retool what they were doing, and I think they would rather have not done that. So,
well, I think this is more fun.
I think it just works out.
I think this is more fun, and the other part that I think you and I talked about, I don't know if we ever talked about it on air, but nobody said anything about characters going in the other direction in this negotiation.
Right.
Like, is it possible some Marvel characters could pop in on a Spider-Man Sony movie, and then you integrate those, like we have said before, like you integrate those worlds, because I know Spider-Man, they're talking about Spider-Man popping in on in the Venom movie.
Well, and Venom, I think part
in,
of the...
In, yeah, Venom movie coming
well,
out.
Well, in the Venom movie, and part of the deal, I think, was also that they wanted to shoehorn Venom into the MCU
right.
as well. So,
well, and that's what led me to this idea, is because they're like, we want to bring Venom into the MCU, but can we get a character, a Marvel character, like I said before, like imagine if Thor popped in, or even just the mention right. of him. You don't even have to bring him in if you think about it. You could just talk about it. In a right. Sony, just a Sony property, and then that expands everything. But what is it? Was that part of the negotiation that we're not hearing?
Yeah, maybe so.
You know,
I don't know that we'll still know all the details of what went down.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes, but again, needless to
we
say,
will
I don't 10 think
years from now when we see what
yeah,
gets played out.
I don't think anybody's super surprised by this. And actually, the news was breaking all over the place today that Tom Holland was actually pretty integral to bringing the two sides
oh, really?
Together. Yeah. So apparently, you know, well, he, you know, he was diplomatic about it. You know, when he was asked, you know, obviously he's going to say the right things, but you know, him and Zendaya both were pretty, you know, it was pretty well publicized that both of them were very disappointed in the split and really wanted to see it continue. So, I don't know that he put pressure on him necessarily, but, you know, it said he had a lot to do with bringing the two sides back together. So,
cool. I didn't see that.
That's cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess he's our hero in more ways than one.
Yep.
So.
let's see. Oh, Batwoman this Sunday night.
Yep.
I've reserved my time in front of the TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be watching for sure.
I'm really looking forward to that. Speaking of which, did you see the Batwoman book that came out today? The Haunted Tides, the trade?
Yeah.
Did you read it? Have you read any Batwoman? It's really good. I grabbed,
I picked it up
because I had read a lot of her stuff, a lot of Batwoman before. I really liked the story and I love the artwork. I don't know who the artist is off the top of my head, but I love reading the artwork. Reading that it's... And this one here, I started it, and I was at work waiting for some rain to go by, and I'm like, the rain stopped, and I was still reading. I'm like, it's pretty cool. It picks up Batman's at the beginning of it. Batman's spying on her, trying to figure. He has it at this point of the book, in the story, he hasn't figured out if he suspects that it's Kate Kane.
Right.
So it's a really good back and forth for the first. Well, quite a few pages. Like I said, I mean, if you're at all a fan of Batman or anything, or Batwoman, pick the book up. It's really good. And like I said, it's like, I hope I know what's going to happen in the show, because I know some, I've told you in the past, I won't say anything now, but some of the characters and stuff. But
I don't know. I mean, I haven't read a lot of Batwoman. You know, she was pretty big part of the early Detective Comics run with, you know, Rebirth.
Yeah.
So I read all of that. And, you know, she pops in books here and there, you know, and I've seen those, but I've never actually read her ongoing title or any
of
her.
That's how I started out back in, like that, oh, God. Well, the beginning of DC Universe, I started reading her on the TV. And it was all like that. It was in the Detective Comics run. Where she, it like her introduction and stuff. So I just read it through that. It was actually a fun way to read it. And then I just started picking up various stuff here and there just to, you know, because I enjoy the story. But
right.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that on the CW. I think it's going to be fun. I think the sets, you know, this is going to be the new dark story, because Arrow's leaving. They need a dark story, you know.
Well, you know, again, Arrow's not going anywhere. It's just going on without Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
We won't hash that up again.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, well, since we're talking about the CW, just some more tidbits breaking with the Crisis crossover.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like Ashley Scott from the old Birds of Prey, she played Huntress on the Birds of Prey, is going to reprise her role as Huntress in this crossover. So, again, just bringing back literally everybody.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Osric Chow from Supernatural is joining as the Atom. So I don't know what that means for
Brandon Routh.
But again, you know, we have multiple Superman, so we have multiple Atoms.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It's funny because we're trying to think like logically
here.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's the Ray Palmer Atom.
Right.
But, you know, again, another Atom.
Speaking of that, did you see Brandon? Of course,
well,
I'm sure
that was that was the third thing
awesome.
I was going to mention. But yeah, the Kingdom Come costume and Brandon Routh, he looks awesome.
Oh,
I mean, I've seen some hate posted online, but
it's so
it's online, so
right.
That goes without saying.
Did you see like some of the stuff, and it was like so ironic to like the actual character that complaining?
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he is, you know.
That's what he's supposed to be. It was so good. It was so good.
But yeah, it just, I can't wait for that to happen. I mean, every day there's more news for that, and like I said, they're really pulling out all the stops. Like this.
Yeah.
Arguably the biggest, well, not even arguably, this is without a doubt the biggest crossover that's ever happened on TV. I think they're going to have more characters in this than we even had in Endgame, you know?
Yeah, that could be.
I mean, this is a pretty ambitious, you know, crossover that they're working on. Almost to the point now where I don't even think they can do everybody justice. Because they have such a finite amount of time.
What, walk by in the background?
They just keep bringing more people in. Like the Atom, this guy, Osric Chow, he's literally just going to be a little dude running across the screen, and that's it. We're never going to see or hear anything from him again.
I'm wondering, like, every time they announce somebody, you know, they keep piling on, adding more. Who aren't they telling us? Like, who are they going to shock us with? You know, I mean, has Mark Hamill signed on yet?
Well, not yet.
So,
not yet. We haven't seen that. We still don't know exactly what Burt Ward is doing. I mean, we all assume he's going to be an older Robin, but that hasn't been officially announced yet. So,
because Mark Hamill's been in the CW a few times, I believe.
Yeah, he was
characters.
On Flash.
Yeah, he was on Flash as like...
He played Trickster in the original Flash, and then he played him again in...
Yeah.
You know, the new Flash, Grant Gustin Flash. So, yeah, again, he's not as, you know, not averse to being on the CW. So
right.
That's possible. You know, I follow him on Twitter, and he's pretty vocal.
Yes,
so he is. So I don't know that he could keep his mouth shut if he had been cast. But
I'm sure.
So far, he hasn't.
He kept his mouth shut all about Star Wars.
yes and no.
Oh. Oh, did you see, like, when I that tweet I put out about how many movies are coming out in 2021? With now Spider-Man 3 coming in 2021?
Yeah, well, there's four Marvel movies and a couple of DC movies.
Yeah, we have February 12th, Shang-Chi. May 7th, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. June 25th, The Batman. July 16th, Spider-Man 3. August 6th, The Suicide Squad. And November 5th, Thor, Love and Thunder. That's going to be a good year.
Yeah, so I'm a member of the Cinemark Movie Club, and I get one free ticket a month between... Well, I get one free ticket a month.
Well, there you go.
A member. And they stack up, and they don't expire. So literally, I'm not going to see a movie at all in 2020. So I'll have, like, 16 tickets saved up for 2021.
Yeah.
And I'll go to all these things for free, because that's the only way I can afford to go see all that many movies. But yeah, no, that's pretty awesome. I mean, it's literally like every other week we get a new movie to go to.
Well, February, May, June, May, June, July, August. That's the good stretch right there.
Yeah.
One a month. That's, I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Right.
How about, did you hear the rumor about Charlie Cox's Daredevil maybe Peter's lawyer in Spider-Man 3?
I did. I had that also as one of my stories. We have a lot of crossover stories this week, I think. But
that's okay.
Yeah, I had seen that also.
That's pretty cool.
Again, that'd be awesome.
I mean, it's happened.
You know?
I mean, it's part of the...
Well, it's canon in the comics.
Right.
You know, obviously they go back and forth in the comics a lot.
And, I mean, by the time that... So that comes out in 2021, in 2 years.
Right.
Less than 2 years, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Just under. It's like 20 months, 22 months.
I guess I just wonder, again,
but
like...
By then, if they use Charlie Cox, by then, will they be bringing him back for a series?
Well, I think their deal with Netflix will be over by then. So.
I think that's over in 2020.
Yeah.
Because they had to have 2 years. So next year they can do it.
Yeah, that would make sense for him to be able to come back. Which would be really cool.
Yeah. Talk about an introduction back into the MCU.
Yeah.
That would be...
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Definitely be awesome. Did you see this? There's a new wrinkle in the Ghost Rider being canceled at Hulu.
No.
Now there's a rumor that they're wanting to bring the female Ghost Rider into the MCU. Bella Thorne is rumored to be...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that.
In the running for that role. So, you know, that would be awesome as well. I don't know what phase that would be in, because it doesn't feel like a character that would make sense in any of the movies that have been announced so far, you know, for her to show up in.
But, right.
But, you know, this could be through Disney Plus as well. It just says MCU, which now encompasses Disney Plus and the movies.
Yeah.
So,
well, now when we hear about a character, like you said, you're like, are we talking about a movie? Are we talking about a TV show? And that, like we've said in the past, oh boy, like when we find out it's a TV show, that's not a negative anymore. We're like, ooh, we're going to go more in depth. This could be fun.
No, actually, it's preferable now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I would much prefer a show to the, you know, even to the movies, you know, at this point, because budget-wise, they're not going to pull any punches with these TV shows.
Right.
So we're going to be getting cinema-quality productions, and we're going to get 7, 8, 9 hours worth of story as opposed to 2 hours. So, hell, you can give me everything in a TV show now, you know?
Imagine if, like, Endgame was, instead of a movie, it was like a 6-hour miniseries or something.
Well, it's pretty much a 6-hour movie, but...
Well, it's only...
By the time you put Infinity War and Endgame together, it was 6 hours, so...
Right.
I mean, it really...
So you could imagine if they did that in a 9-hour...
Yeah.
I don't know if it would have been as fun, though. Because you would have gotten, like, an hour break, and then you got to wait. Or, actually,
yeah.
if you could binge it...
It would take you nine weeks to
That would be a one-day binge. There's no doubt about it. I think if they ever released anything like that...
Like, everything they're doing is weekly.
No, I know.
So.
I know.
You'd have to wait till it was over and then
right.
binge it, you know. But, you know, neither one of us have the willpower to do that. Like, there's no way you would wait.
No, I wouldn't wait.
You know? If it was weekly, you wouldn't binge it in a day.
Although
watch
I did
it every
just
week.
Pick up Doomsday Clock today. The issue one, the first six.
The first
because I didn't
novel.
Pick up. I didn't buy any of them because right. I didn't want to deal with that. And then it turns out it worked out because everybody's been tortured. So, and I expect
maybe in December we'll get the last issue.
Yeah, well, I expect the second book of this, like,
here.
In 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a while. But it's a great story, but it's just so hard to follow because, you know, the way they've done it is ridiculous.
Well, that's why I'm hoping with this. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm hoping that, like, to read those six stories all at once, that'll help a lot.
It will. It definitely will help.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
Did you see the teaser for Stranger Things season 4?
I saw that it exists. I did.
There's nothing to really see.
I was just saying, there's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
So the logo.
My question is, are you excited for that?
Well, I am. We talked about this when we did our Stranger Things episode.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not counting the days to see it like I would be with something else, but I'm definitely going to watch it.
I am too, but and that's why I ask. It's like when I saw the teaser, which is just like their logo with a big four behind it.
I mean, the teaser doesn't get my juices flowing.
No, but the further
asking,
away
I mean,
we get from season 3, I feel like, you know, that could have kind of just gone away. because isn't the tagline, we're not in, what's the town anymore? Town?
Oh.
We're not in whatever town it is anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. It's like.
Yeah, I'm sure it could have, and we probably wouldn't have even. Well, I say that, you know, we're going to get some hate because there's people that. There's diehard Stranger Things that.
Right.
You know, are definitely waiting for it to come back. But I mean, we talked about it when we did our episode.
Yeah.
You know, it's just. It's a little bit played out at this point.
Well,
you know,
every season was exactly the same.
Right, it's all
like
the same.
Like you said in the episode, like,
Stranger Things,
not Stranger anymore. It's the same thing.
Right. There's nothing strange about it. We know what it is. And even this season, you know, the stinger at the end of season 3 was just more Demogorgons and stuff. So it's just the same old stuff, you know.
Right.
We just want something different, you know.
Yeah, I want something stranger.
Right.
So, I don't know. I was never a huge fan of the show. I enjoyed... I think I said it in the... I'm sure I did. I liked the 80s references. I liked the mall in season 3. I liked that stuff. And I really liked the kids. That was fun.
Because
like we said, we were the same age. So that'll be interesting. But I'm really... Like the further away we get from season 3, I feel like...
Yeah.
I'm not really
I mean,
jazzed up for that.
When it comes on, I'll watch it and I'll enjoy it just like anything else. But I'm not really anticipating it at this point.
Yeah. We have so much. Like that's the we have so
yeah,
much.
There's so much
stuff
to look forward to,
and
that.
It's that's. I mean, that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up. It's like, I mean, we got Disney Plus coming. I'm actually excited for a couple of things on Apple that I saw, and
I am too. There's some. Looks like there's some good stuff. Notably, the Peanuts movie,
the space one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Snoopy in Space.
Snoopy in Space.
Yeah, I said that to my wife, and I've got the book down here in the studio under the stairs somewhere that I bought, a couple years ago. I don't know where it is. It's on the shelf here somewhere. But it's the old Snoopy Space book that I had when I was a little kid, and I was like, I'm sitting there, and we're watching the show. We're watching the stupid TV, and Apple's got, like, what, how many commercials now?
Well, they're spending,
like,
like
every other commercial's, like,
on Apple. Every network. Every network and every commercial is Apple. Like,
right.
They're spending a fortune on advertising.
Right. So that commercial comes on, and I can't remember which show we were watching, but I'm like, I go, oh, that's Snoopy. And she goes, yeah. And I have this, I don't know, there's something like deep down for me inside for Snoopy and Charlie Brown and all that. But I said, she goes, what is it? And I was like, give me a minute. Because
I'm a little verklempt.
Yeah, I'm getting a little verklempt. I'm like, Snoopy in space. I don't know why. I was thinking of, like, I remember reading that book on my bed in the dark and just being, So I was just like, oh, this is going to be cool. But I'm like,
we grew up with those. We grew up with all the special people now. Like, Snoopy's not that. I'm surprised they're doing a Snoopy movie, to be honest with you. Because it's only for old people like us.
How much content is that, though? Like,
well, I think it's just a movie.
Right.
It's like an hour movie, probably. Hour and a half.
What, are they going to shoot him off into space? He's going to float around and come home. I think that's what the
book was. Right. I don't know what he's doing. So, but yeah, like I said, kids today don't find, you know, the Peanuts funny and don't care about any of that stuff. It's really just for us old people.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see. Oh, Stumptown. Did you see the show?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Loved it. I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones without power?
She's
kind of the same thing.
Yeah, more or less.
She's got an alcohol problem.
Right.
Not really a problem. She just likes to drink.
She likes to drink. She likes to sleep around. Jessica Jones, pretty much.
Yeah.
I didn't read the comic, so I wasn't that familiar with the property, but I liked it a lot. I like Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
So,
I think
it's got some promise. Well, it's only had one episode, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, but what I liked about it was it seems like it's going to be like, you know, there'll be some ongoing threads, but it looks like she's going to solve something every week.
Yeah, it'll
you know,
be.
Which is kind of cool. You know, like, oh, okay, like, this is regular TV.
So, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to offend anybody, so I hope it doesn't come across that way.
Oh, here we go.
Because I don't know how you're supposed to refer to people anymore. But the old Indian lady that's in that show.
Yeah.
So, in the last week,
the old Native American woman?
The Native American woman, is that how you're supposed to say it?
I don't know. Don't take my word for it.
I've watched three different shows in the last week, and she has been in that show. So she is literally like, when the script says, I need an old Indian woman, this is the only lady that's working in Hollywood, apparently, that gets the role. Because she's in, I started watching a show called Godless on Netflix, which is actually really good if you like Westerns. But she's in that. She's in Stumptown. And then she was in show with Jason Momoa that I just... Oh, Frontier, which I just finished watching. And she was on that.
Yeah.
So I guess she's, like, the one you cast.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Like I said, I don't mean to offend anybody, so please don't take offense if I said old
Native
Indian lady
American,
wrong.
Yeah.
But, it was just funny that she just keeps showing up on my TV this week, like, three times in three different shows.
Yeah.
So.
I've only seen her in that one. Yeah. But yeah, no, I like that show. I like her car, the Mustang.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. And the busted tape deck.
That was awesome. I really liked
that.
That
was really funny.
Because the soundtrack was awesome.
Yes.
Like, that was a great show to listen to, just the music.
Yeah. And I got a kick out of the two thugs at the beginning singing.
Oh, yeah, that's they cannot, because you cannot not sing that song, right? You can't not do it.
What song was it? I can't remember.
Sweet Caroline.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, no matter what you're doing, you have to sing it.
Yeah.
And you could see they didn't want to.
No, they were fighting it.
But they couldn't help it. And that was great.
Yeah. That was really
funny. 'Cause
in
the beginning, you don't know that they're not, like, good guys. You don't know who those guys are for the first, you know, 30 seconds of the show until she bursts out of the backseat of the car and starts choking them.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, these guys are kind of cool.
Nice.
And then they're
not. Yeah. I picked up volume one of Stumptown today. I actually got a couple of copies. One of our followers, Gianna, on Twitter, she was looking for one, so I grabbed it. And she's local, so she's going to... I said, where do you want me to mail it to? And she's going to meet me at our restaurant uptown on Sunday.
Awesome.
She's coming down for the Pats game. But nice. I started it. It's actually written by the Rucka, they're doing Lois Lane.
Yeah, Greg Rucka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. Pretty good so far. I've only, you know, same as Batwoman, I started flipping through it. And it is good. Yeah. Very similar, obviously very similar to the show.
Right.
But, how about Idris Elba?
Elba?
Playing, supposedly playing Vigilante in Suicide Squad? Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
It's a rumor.
I mean,
it's just a rumor.
It's pretty much just Deadshot. I mean, they're really the same character. You know, Vigilante is Adrian Chase in the comics, but, you know, very similar character to Deadshot. He's just a...
Well, he was originally cast as Deadshot, and then they said they weren't going to... Remember when they pulled back? And they were like, no, we're not going to do that. So that's pretty much...
So we're just making him Deadshot without calling him Deadshot, basically. Right. Because, like I said, they're very similar characters.
So... I got an interesting tweet from Derek regarding our Star Wars episode from the other day.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, he had a pretty interesting take that, honestly, I hadn't even – we didn't mention – well, we asked for people to tweet at us about this, but he tweeted, great episode. So I could just end there, and it's a good tweet.
Yeah, right. That's all I need to hear. I'm done now, actually. I'm tuning out.
Yeah. He said, it's still my favorite Star Wars movie. Is it because I didn't get to see A New Hope in the theater, but I did see this one as my first? Or is it just that I think it's a better movie? And I tweeted back to him, like, you mean movie?
Yeah, I saw that.
But yeah, I thought that was really interesting that he hadn't seen Star Wars first, and he saw Empire, and he thought that... You know what I mean? So he came in on Empire because he's a few years younger than us.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, I
talk
think,
about
yeah, that's your
introduction, though.
Because we talked about Star Wars, again, maybe not being as good of a movie as Empire, but how we'll always think it was the best because it was our introduction. So there's definitely something to be said for that. There's also the presentation because, you know, thinking back to that time frame in the 80s, when he finally saw A New Hope, it's probably on a little 13-inch color TV in his house with no sound, you know. So it definitely doesn't – it's not like today where you can have a movie theater in your house and get a similar experience. So I don't know. I can't really answer for him because it could be both. It could be either one could be right.
Well, I think – I mean, I think he gets the best of both worlds really there because, like you said, it's like we have the – You know, the first movie we saw was Star Wars, so that's why it's our favorite. But we even admit it's not as good of a movie.
Right.
And, but he, yeah, TM, Brightside Chat, 2019. But he, so he actually gets like, that's where that pulls on the heartstrings for him, and it's probably the best movie. Right. So, I mean, my question would be, did he know the story going into Empire? Because, of course, the Star Wars, you know, lore was out there. People were talking about it.
Yeah, but how, at his age, did he know a lot of it?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know how old he was when he saw it, but as a kid back then, pre-internet, you only had other kids to talk to.
True.
But Empire sort of stands on it, like,
doesn't it? I was just going to say
coming into it cold, you could watch it without knowing anything that happened before,
right?
You know, obviously you have, you know, more attachment to it if you had seen a New Hope,
right?
But
there's not really a lot of spoilers in
or
there's not really a lot of story that you absolutely need out of the first A New Hope. Of course, when Obi-Wan shows up as a Force ghost, you're going to be like, who's that guy?
Right, and I don't know if the I am your father line carries as much weight if your first introduction to Vader was in this movie.
Well, I think it would by the reaction. You'd be like, oh, wow, he didn't know that was his father, you know?
Yeah, but it's also our reaction to it also. I mean, absolutely, I think you could watch it without having seen A New Hope first.
Yeah.
But... some of it won't resonate as strongly, but I don't know that he suffered necessarily by not seeing it first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he had the storybook, you know, the picture book, which is pretty much as good as watching the movie.
Before he went
to go see it.
Yeah. So. All right. You got anything else?
Well, just the big elephant in the room. I'm surprised you didn't bring up the Birds of Prey trailer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, no, I did. I don't even know why I didn't throw that in here.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Birds of Prey trailer hit yesterday.
Crazy.
Yeah, so Harley Quinn 2 looks pretty good. I can't wait to see it.
So, you know what I thought when that – what I think is going to – not that it's not already a popular trending movie right now anyways, but I think that Harley Quinn show on DC Universe is going to – I'm really looking forward to that. And that's going to drive some buzz too. I know not a ton of people are watching DC Universe, but
– right.
But that – that trailer looks... Did you see it? I know you to avoid trailers.
I do like to avoid trailers, but I usually watch the first one. Like I said, I will always watch the first trailer, and then I kind of stay away from them.
Yeah.
I think the movie looks great. I was being a little facetious a minute ago, but, I mean, it feels very Harley Quinn heavy, at least from the trailer. Whereas this is not a Harley Quinn movie. Like, this is the Birds of Prey movie. So I wish they would have featured the other characters a little bit more prominently in the trailer. Because if you really go back to it, Harley Quinn is not even part of the Birds of Prey specifically.
Right.
And while I do like the look of Harley throughout this movie.
Well, I'm wondering if, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying, again, I was disappointed in the lack of comic accurate costumes for Black Canary and Huntress. You know, a lot of people, you know, DC takes a lot of flack for their movies, and, you know, a lot of people compare DC to Marvel movies, and I'm not going to try to do this here, but the thing with the Marvel, when you look at a Marvel movie, I mean, they look like the comic books.
Yeah.
Like, they don't shy away from putting those characters in their costumes. And, like, you know, and again, I know a lot of people are upset with the casting, and I'm not. Like, I could care less. I think Journey Smollett or whatever looks great as Black Canary. But I want to see the fishnets, and I want, like, I don't want to see that,
that
costume that they have her.
Well, right.
I know, but
no, I know.
I want to see her look like Black Canary.
Right.
And she doesn't. You know, Huntress doesn't look, I can't remember the actress who's playing Huntress, but she doesn't look like Huntress. So that was a little disappointing. But the movie, I think, itself looks great. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it just looks bonkers. Like her.
Yeah.
You know,
does.
Like,
I mean, it looks crazy.
The editing on the trailer is just like, it's all over the place. Can you even get a sense on, well, what I was going to say is the only sense I got out of it, like the Birds of Prey part, in that I know, you know, Harley wasn't part of Birds of Prey. Is it that she's joining the Birds of Prey? You know what I mean? Like, so it's still that, because that's what they call it. It's like the whatever of the fantabulous Harley Quinn or whatever.
Right. But again, this was built, it was kind of portrayed as her emancipation from the Joker.
Right.
You
and
know?
As she says in the trailer, some other people want their freedom as well.
Want their freedom as well.
And so I think like, is it like Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, but they're just calling it Birds of Prey? Because that's what it feels like to me. So it's still accurate that it's Birds of Prey, and she's just going to them for help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, that it doesn't bother me that she's in it. It's just that she was very central to the trailer, and will probably be very central to the movie, too. Like I said, this is Harley Quinn. Well, I don't even know if it's Harley Quinn 2, because she never had a 1. But even, like, you could say Suicide Squad was Harley Quinn 1. And Birds of Prey is
Harley
Quinn 2.
Because she kind of stole that movie. She was the best part of that movie.
Right. She was definitely the best part of that movie. And, you know, probably will be the best part of this movie, too. And she's a good actor. Like, I like Margot Robbie.
Right.
Like I said, so I don't have a problem with that. But if it's called Birds of Prey, like, I want to see the other ones, too. Like, I don't want it to just all be her.
Right. Well, I'm wondering if, like, they're using her as the – she is the – driving force behind the movie, but when we actually go to see the movie, it's gonna be like a almost like Suicide Squad wasn't a Harley Quinn movie.
Right.
Maybe this is gonna be like a Birds of Prey movie with Harley Quinn. But they're
right
because they're calling it like Birds of Prey, and Harley Quinn is actually the second name.
Right.
You know
and
what I
the
mean?
Emancipation of Harley Quinn. Right.
Yeah.
But they're using her to sell the movie.
Exactly.
They're not trying to sell it as a Birds of Prey movie. They're selling it as Harley Quinn.
Which is it's smart.
It's smart, but then you lure people into a show and then they get something completely different because that's not what they're going for.
It might not be what they're going for, but if it's made well, then they won't mind. And, you know, but by the same token, if it's not made well and it's just a Harley Quinn movie,
right,
people are going to be mad anyway. So you've got to make a quality product no matter what. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
Like I said, I'm looking forward. I think it looks great. I just wanted to see a little bit more of the other characters front and center. And I really wanted to see some more comic accurate, comics. Because they nail Harley Quinn. Like, all of her looks throughout the
movie. Well, Ewan McGregor doesn't even have a mask on yet.
Well, that's true, too.
So, I mean, they're not going to give you, in a lot of these trailers, they're not going to give you everything. They're not going to give you anything. They're just, that trailer looks like an invitation to a birthday party. It's just like, hey, look, and there's a bunch of balloons and the things all over the place. And you're like, come enjoy the insanity. Okay.
Right. But the idea of the trailer is to put your best foot forward and try to sell the movie. And you know, if you're only going to give me 10 seconds of Black Canary in the trailer, at least put her in her costume. And then, you know, so I can see what, you know, we can see what that's going to be. There's no guarantee that she doesn't get in there by the end of the movie. We don't know. But.
Well, is it possible?
It looked like she was running around in some kind of costume already.
Is it possible that the general public, if they put Black Canary in a real costume, that the general public would be like, what is that? Like, they would get the wrong idea, like it's some kind of...
I don't think so, because if it was a Marvel movie, they would have had her in it, you know?
Well, I think if it...
They would have had her in that.
Not in that. Not in Marvel. What, Disney owned? What, are you nuts?
She's not naked, dude.
No, I didn't say she was naked, but it's... I mean, she's in, like, a black leotard and fishnets and...
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, basically what she was wearing in this movie is what we see Black Canary wearing on the CW. And in a feature film, I would have rather seen a more comic accurate thing. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I don't know.
We could get it.
Yeah. Too early to really know for sure.
Yep. All right. We ready to get into some comic books?
Yeah. All right. Always.
All right. Before that, let's have our comic books this week be sponsored by... Dr. Joe and his Twitch page.
Okay.
How about that? Have you been following him?
No.
You're not on Twitch, are you?
I'm not on Twitch.
You should jump on Twitch and give him a follow.
You
should. It's funny. He's back. What is it? Backcracker_Dr. Joe on Twitch, right? And he just goes, you know what Twitch is, right?
I know what Twitch is. Okay. I mean, I follow Twitter. I mean, I know what he's doing. I mean, I know he's streaming. But yeah, I know exactly what it is.
It's a riot.
I just don't really watch it.
The guy is so entertaining. It's so funny. Yeah, it's the guys at Indie Alley, they shouted him out. He's so funny. So there's this, you know, like, we don't swear on this podcast, and we actually have Sounders in case you do. So when you sign up and, like, you go to click on anybody's stream, it says, you know, be respectful, because you can talk to them and be respectful, watch your language, stuff like that. So I got on to Dr. Joe, like, the first stream he ever did, I'm like, all right, here we go. I click on it. I'm like, okay, your disclaimer, don't swear, blah, blah, blah. And, like, it opens up, and it was just beep and beep and beep. He gets so animated, especially if he's playing Madden.
Because you're playing video game. Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets so animated, and it is so funny.
You don't want to watch me playing video games either, because you couldn't keep the button going fast enough.
Well, you don't have to beep. You get to hear it all. It's not beeped out, but it's just ironic that you have to click that you won't.
Well, they can do whatever they want. They just don't want you swearing at them.
Right, exactly. So, and being respectful.
Yeah, Twitch is not PG rated.
No,
I mean, I've seen Twitch. I have the, you know,
you should go
like
on
never
some,
been on there. But.
You should sign up and go on and follow him. And it's like, because I go on, I talk to him, and we talk back and forth, and you could jump on. And there's we've had quite a few people on there so far. He's trying to get up to 50 followers, because I think then he gets paid or something like that. But it's pretty cool. But he's entertaining to listen to. It's so funny. It's like, I put it on. So what I do is, you have Apple TV, right?
Yeah.
So you bring it up on your iPhone.
Right, and just stream it.
And then but here's what's cool is, it goes onto your TV, and now you can use your phone for whatever. You can actually go on to Twitter, you can do other things, but when you go to the part where you talk, like to text to the stream, it's not taking up space on your phone. So you just text and it shows up on your phone. You see the conversation on your phone, but the TV is just the game and the image of him. So I put it on. We have an Apple TV in the bedroom. I put it on in the bedroom and I fall asleep to it. Especially like on Thursday nights when because I'm usually exhausted from doing this on Wednesday night. And it's like one night my wife had rolled over. She's facing the other way. I'm rolled over and I'm listening to it. And he, he called somebody Captain. I can't remember who the player was, but one of his players got injured and he yelled out Captain Vaginus or something like that. So my wife literally burst out laughing. She was laughing so hard. She goes, I'm going to use that one. But it's like, that's why I keep calling him Captain V on Twitter now.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, it's so funny. So funny to listen to. So yeah, give him a follow. Cool. Get on there and give him a follow.
All right. Will do.
All right. So other than that, thanks, Dr. Joe, for that sponsorship, which is.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're sharing percentages.
Yep.
Zero.
We're going to have a Marvel-Sony split here in a little while if we don't come to terms.
Yeah.
I want 50%.
Exactly. All right. How am I spending my money this week?
All right. So the first book we're going to take a look at is Absolute Carnage, Immortal Hulk number 1. There's a 1 in 25 Codex variant. This thing is going crazy money. It's selling for like $75, which is 3 times over ratio. That actually makes it more valuable than the 1 in 50 variant, which is only going for about $40. So that's selling under ratio.
Wow.
These Codex variants have been picking up steam. You know, we've talked about them a couple of times. But this one is really trending high. So, you know, you don't find these 1 in 25 variants laying around on the shelves in a lot of stores. But if you can pick one up anywhere for, you know, anywhere under $75, it's probably a good deal. And you may want to jump on that. Keeping in with the Immortal Hulk, we had Immortal Hulk 24 came out. The 1 in 50 variant for this one also has a lot of interest. It's selling for $75 to $100. So almost double ratio there. Same disclaimer, you know, if you don't find a lot of 1 in 25s, you definitely don't find a lot of 1 in 50s. Again, if you can find one out there, depending on the pricing, it may also be one that you want to grab, because it's going, like I said, up to $100. Rags, issue number 5 from Antarctic Press. This book, you know, I started to read this when it came out like a year ago. This is kind of on the doomsday clock schedule.
Rags?
Yeah.
Yeah, we started with, that was one of our first, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Way back when. But, you know, this thing's still selling for $8 to $10, today, you know, if you can find it out there. Again, not heavily ordered, but, and you know, I don't even know, I didn't get any of them, and I could have sworn I had ordered some of these, but, you know, it's been 6 months since I ordered them, so who knows what happened there. But, you know, again, seems to be a popular series. If you can find it, go ahead and pick that up. From Marvel, we have Runaways, issue 25. This is the first full appearance of Doc Justice. So, you know, Marvel's been announcing their new book, Doc Justice and the J-Team, which is coming. But we didn't really know who Doc Justice and the J-Team were. Well, apparently it's the Runaways cast of characters. So the book is being relaunched and rebranded as Doc Justice and the J-Team. The first cameo appearance of the character was in the last issue, number 24. That's selling for about $8. This one here isn't going crazy yet. Most of them are just around $5 or $6. But this could have legs for a while, depending on what happens with Doc Justice and the J-Team. I'm wondering if they're going to rename the Hulu series Doc Justice and the James Team. I don't know what really is going on. I don't read Runaways, so I'm not sure what's happening there. But anyways, go ahead and pick that one up. Strange Skies Over East Berlin. This is a Boom comic. Most of them are just selling for a cover price, but the FOC cover variant, selling for about $7. So, That would be the one to pick up on that. This was actually, you know, not a bad book. It's one of the books I read that we're going to talk about later. So I do recommend going and picking that up.
Mm-hmm.
Vampire State Building, number one. So this is Charlie Adlard. He was a longtime artist on The Walking Dead. This is his first work since The Walking Dead ended. This is sold out. Both covers, or actually all the cover, three covers are sold out on this book already at Diamond. All the covers are going for $9 to $10 a piece, but the In-Hyuk Lee variant seems to be the one that's in the most demand. There's also an Infinity Gauntlet homage cover that is seeing some interest. I didn't get a chance to read this one today, actually, but it was one that I wanted to read. So,
which one was that?
Vampire State Building.
No, yeah, I didn't read that one either.
So I'll have to give that a read and get back with you guys. And that's it as far as speculator books for this week.
Oh, you skipped one.
I meant to.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
I think we did that a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if we ever came back to that book.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
I just, you know, now you put me on the spot. So
well, now
I got to
take it out
three.
If you don't talk
that's
about
all right.
it.
Star Pig number three. Sometimes I put a list together and I don't feel like it's worthy to talk about.
Okay.
But Star Pig issue number three. There's a 1 in 10 variant that's going for about $15. I didn't figure that any stores in existence ordered 10 copies of this book because it's a dog. So that's why I didn't want to talk about it. But anyway, if you could find the 1 in 10 variant for this, it's selling for about $15. And now that is the end of our speculator this week.
All right. So let's get into some back issue bonus books.
All right.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Amazing Spider-Man issue 210. This is the first appearance of Madame Web.
I wonder why.
So there was, we didn't talk about this in the news, but there's been speculation that Sony is developing a Madame Web, movie. You know, we've heard lots of speculation about Sony developing a bunch of Spider-Man related properties. I don't know that Madame Web jumps to the top of my mind as a property that makes for a super compelling movie.
No, but I think the this is going to be the answer for a while until all of these movies come out and do well. But it's right. That the answer to that is going to be, well, nobody really wanted Guardians of the Galaxy. You know?
I get it.
And that right now, that's the only one that you can really think of off the top of your head. You know what I mean? But yeah. Imagine like 4 or 5 years from now and we're like, oh, yeah, that's going to be commonplace, I think.
I guess my point was that they're tossing ideas around for a lot of things. I'm not sure that this one ever actually makes it into production. I'm not sure that we'll ever see a Madame Web movie. But in any case, you know, this was a key book already. You know, she shows up a lot in Spider-Man. $75 seems to be the going rate for a decent copy. You know, high-grade copies are selling for upwards of $200. So definitely a book to keep my eye on. And if it does turn out to, you know, the movie rumors do turn out to be true, I would expect to see this go, you know, to go up from there. From 2014, we have Moon Knight, issue number one. There's a Scotty Young variant for this. This is selling for about $100. It's not tied to anything. I mean, obviously, we have announcement of Moon Knight, you know, the right. TV show on Disney Plus, but I don't think that has anything to do with this particular variant cover. It just was kind of a surprise. Had no idea that this thing was a $100 variant. So Scotty Young variant covers are always popular. But, you know, if you can find one of these laying around in a back issue bin somewhere, it's worth about $100. So I definitely would pick that up. DMZ issue number one. So Ava DuVernay was announced yesterday, I think, as the director for the pilot episode of this show on HBO. Very early in the development process, but you know, this book is selling only for cover price right now, like $3. So it's definitely worth a pick up and hold because who knows if this thing becomes a successful TV show on HBO. You know, prices could skyrocket on that. And, you know, even if you pick it up for $3 and a year from now it's only worth $3, you only lost nothing.
Right.
You know? So I would say go ahead and grab a copy of that if you can find it. And then on the same vein, we have Curse Words, issue number one. Same thing. The writers have a podcast, and they announced that this was optioned for TV. There's no word when or where. But, again, this is sitting low, you know, right around $5. So same thing. Just pick it up and hold on to it. You can't lose on a $5 book.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if it becomes a popular show later on down the line, you'll be happy you picked it up for $5. That's it for back issue bonus.
All right. And let's get into FOC. And if you're not driving, you can follow along on the link on the show notes for Previews World. Da-da-da. Easy for me to say.
Yeah. Sounds like it. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
All right, so from DC, we have variant covers for Deceased, issue number 6, the Yasmin Putri cardstock horror variant cover. Looks really cool.
Yeah.
New series from DC, we have Basket Full of Heads, issue number 1. This is going to be, well, this was billed as a 6-issue miniseries, but then I picked up the sampler that they released today, the Joe Hill sampler, and they're now saying that this is a 7-issue miniseries, so I'm quite sure which one is correct. But
did you,
like I said, there's a sampler that came out today to all comic shops with promoting Joe Hill's new line of horror comics, and this was in there. And if you get a chance to pick that up, I would definitely pick it up ahead of Monday, because you get a chance to get like a 5-page preview of this before it comes out. And actually, it seems pretty interesting. You know, I think it's one that I'm going to definitely read. As well as there's another one in that sampler called Dollhouse, which actually looks pretty good too. So
cool.
Like I said, stores should be giving those away, so definitely pick one of those up.
Hey, before you go further, did you see the Matina Deceased?
I did see that. That was also cool. I just I picked the horror cover over that, but the Matina Deceased looks like Matina, it has Darkseid. Yeah.
Dark side with like some neon in it.
Yeah, it was also really cool.
Yeah.
You couldn't go wrong with either one, really, but I liked the other one a little better with the Detective Chimp.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Horror cover.
Yeah, that was, yeah, that's, ew.
Yeah. And then last new series from DC, we have Last God, issue number 1. So this is the first original property that they're soliciting on their Black Label imprint. Because to this point, everything we've seen Black Label has been, you know, existing major characters for DC. This is a completely new property. They sent retailers the first 2 issues, early last week to read. So I did get a chance to read, both of those issues for this series.
So which is that? Last God?
Last God.
You got to read it?
Yeah, I got to read it. I'm not going to say I loved it, but I didn't hate it either. I know that's kind of a mixed bag, but, you know, I'm interested to see more of the story, but, it, you know, for a Black Label original story, it didn't really jump out and grab me right off the bat, so.
The covers look like a Conan type
story? Yeah, it's sort of, but it's more Game of Thronesy in a way.
Oh, really?
Well,
the second cover there that I'm looking at looks more Game of Thronesy.
Yeah. So, like I said, I don't know. I don't want to talk people out of it. I can't give it a, like, my highest endorsement because it, you know, I didn't love it. But, you know, for being a new property and, like I said, an original story, you know, I'm okay to see where it goes. You know, but anyway,
yeah.
That goes on FOC this week. So, all right. From Image Comics, we have Chrononauts Future Shock. This is a weekly series, so they're actually FOCing they're FOCing all 4 issues this Monday. So I don't know Chrononauts, but this is just the latest in miniseries with these characters. Mark Millar's been doing them for a while. I don't read that. I've never read it, so I can't tell you much about it. I would say if you've read the other ones, you're probably interested in reading these. But like I said, it is a weekly series that is all being FOC'd at once. So if it's something you're interested in, that's difficult for stores to handle. you know, because you're taking risk on four issues right away without knowing how the sales are going to be. So if you're interested in that, I would say please get in and let your stores know before Monday. It will help them order, you know, all four of those issues. Because we have, like I said, once we order them, we're kind of locked in on the whole series. And there's, like I said, there's multiple covers for that. And last from Image, we have Killadelphia, issue number one. There's only one cover for it. Don't know how many issues that's going to be either. There's no indication there.
It's a pretty cool cover.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I like the title. I mean, Killadelphia sounds cool. I don't know anything about it, but it's intriguing. Yeah,
it's a story of a guy going to an Eagles game.
Yeah, exactly.
Santa going to an Eagles game.
There you go.
Oh, we're going to get in trouble for that one.
Probably so. If we have any Philly fans there. All right. Moving on down to Marvel. We have Silver Surfer Black, issue number 5. There's a David Nakayama Mary Jane variant, which is a really good-looking cover. But my pick of covers for this week is Venom number 19. It's Jae Hyung Lee, Mary Jane variant. That is awesome.
Yeah.
It is such
I'm
a good
looking
cover.
Right at, yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely, I think.
She looks dead.
Yeah, she looks. Yeah. It's a really good cover.
Like the Silver Surfer Black one is pretty fun, though.
I like that. I've liked most of these Mary Jane variants, but and the Venom is definitely a darker take.
Oh, you think?
But it's so awesome. If you haven't seen it, definitely click on the link and pull that one up because it's great.
The Silver Surfer one is like it's like she's from the 60s. She's
yeah,
got
it's
the,
a little bit,
got the
well,
boots
that,
on.
That whole series has a psychedelic
yes.
vibe to it anyways.
Yes.
When you read when you look through it, the art, it's very painted LSD
yes.
type of, you know, story.
I try not to drive for 30 minutes after I read the book.
Exactly. But, yeah, in that cover, you know, it definitely has that same feel. But, yeah, the Venom one is more of a deceased, actually.
It's very, yeah. Well, it's, I mean, you'll know it when you see it, but the detail in it is really good, too.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's a great, great cover.
Yeah. Okay, new series from Marvel. We have Excalibur issue 1 on FOC. There's multiple covers there. Marvel Zombies Resurrection, number 1, multiple copies there. And Red Goblin Red Death, number 1. Well, actually, which is just a one shot. But again, multiple covers for it. From Titan Comics, we have Shades of Magic Rebel Army issue number 1. There's multiple covers there. Valiant has Roku issue number 1. This is a 4-issue miniseries, multiple covers. And Zenoscope, we have Monster Planet number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries and multiple covers there. And that's it for FOC.
All right. Are we ready to get into our book club for the week?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I read both of yours.
Okay.
So why don't you start, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, and then I'll go into another one I read.
Okay. So I guess the first one is from Boom Studio. No, I'm sorry, from Image Comics. We have Gnomon Omen, issue number 1. This is a 15-issue, can't really call it a mini-series, but it's a 15-issue
yeah.
limited series. I think I mentioned this back when it was on FOC. Like I said, this is a kind of a reprinting of a book that this is an Italian comic that's already finished its run in Italy, and it's kind of just been being redone for the English audience. So the story is set. So like this is not going to be any more or any less than 15 issues.
Okay,
you know the story is already done. So you said you got a chance to read this. I actually really liked it. I read it 3 or 4 weeks ago. I read the preview of it. But I knew I wanted to read it. I mean, I knew I wanted to talk about it today, and it wasn't fresh, so I read it again today. And like I said, I actually liked this story quite a bit. What I really like about it is that there's some social media tie-ins that go along with
it. Did you follow?
I did follow, yeah.
So did I.
So there's halfway, about, well, not even halfway through the story, a little bit into the story, one of the main characters talks about setting up her Instagram page. So she's colorblind, and one of her friends, they're throwing her a birthday party. They give her a cake that's like rainbow-colored cake, and they're making fun of her because she can't see any color. But she talks about setting up this Instagram page, and they give the Instagram address, which is _gnomon.omen_. And just for kicks, I wasn't sure. I didn't know that this was a thing. I kind of thought that it was because of the way they introduced it into the story. Yeah. So halfway through, I put the book down. I went to Instagram and pulled it up, and sure enough, it's a thing. So yeah. I followed it. And
yeah, so did I.
So it looks like that as this story goes along, they're going to be updating it through Instagram, which is really cool. And then there's a Twitter hashtag, do you want to know a secret, which you can also follow. And, you know, there's things there that...
Follow that one.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, this is a story about, you know, it's all about magic. It starts off, you know, not to get into too many spoilers, but these girls witness a car accident. They meet somebody in the accident that seems to have some kind of supernatural things going on. There's a bit of an Immaculate Conception thing that happens there.
You're not really sure.
You don't really know. But then it fast forwards, you know, 21 years into the future, I guess.
Yeah.
And you find out that the girl that we think is going to be the main character is actually the product of this Immaculate Conception. Obviously, she's got, you know, some kind of magic connection that we don't really know about yet. And she's being hunted by people that hunt people with magic connections.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's issue one, so we don't know all of what's going on here, but, I liked the art in here. I really liked that there were several pages where they're talking about her, and they have the technical term for being colorblind. I just can't remember what it is. But all the pages that deal with that are done basically in black and white,
yeah,
which is really cool.
And there's a reason why.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you're like nodding no.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because it's like, I didn't want to say it. The birthday cake and stuff.
Yeah, well, like I said, I wasn't going to bring it up, but you did. So.
Right, and that's what, we were both like, no, don't. Okay,
yeah.
Don't.
But yeah.
But yeah, no, it's cool. There's a lot of detail in this book that, just like that, everything means something.
Yes.
There's actually a couple of quote-unquote white pages type deal.
Mm-hmm. Now that, yeah.
Did you get that feel?
To steal from House of X, Powers of Ten.
Yeah, mostly Powers.
Yeah. Yeah, all the white pages happen in Powers. But
yeah, but it's not bad. It's part of the story. It is. It's a good story. Would you say it's going to be 15?
It's 15 issues, yeah.
Hey, is that bi-weekly or monthly?
It's monthly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's going to last a while.
Yeah, we're in this for a little while. You know, a year and a half or so. Well, a year and 3 months.
Yeah, till next Christmas.
Yeah.
So. All right.
If you can't, you know, if you have to know, like inquiring minds want to know, again, it's all out there in Italian. So just pull it up with Google Translate and you can read the whole thing. You can read the whole thing now if you want to. But yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, at the end of the book, there's a little, synopsis by the writer of this, and you know, he talks about where the ideas came from, which was also pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I said, I liked this book. I thought it was pretty good. So yeah, Gnomon number
All
one.
Right. You want to do the next one?
Sure. From Boom Studios. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back because Gnomon, I did say it was from Image. I didn't call out the creators. So the writer is Marco Bucci and the art was done by Jacopo Camagni. So definitely Italian names. If you weren't sure. But yeah, again, those are the creators there. All right. So from Boom Studios, we have Strange Skies Over East Berlin. This is issue number one. I don't know if this is a miniseries or not. Like I said, I couldn't see anything that said whether it was or not. The writer was Jeff Loveness. The art was done by Lisandro Efferin. So this you know, if you can't tell from the title, it takes place in East Berlin around the time of, you know, early 70s. The Berlin Wall is, you know, definitely in full force here. And, you know, there's kind of, you know, spies on each side that are trying to figure out what's going on, you know, just like the Cold War. It's basically a, you know, really is a Cold War type of story. But you've got a spy who's stationed on the eastern side, and you know, it looks like he tries to help people escape, you know, escape over the wall, you know, he's doing some things over there. Gets called in by his superiors and thinks he's in, you know, thinks he's in trouble, thinks he's been made, and he wants to, you know, wants to be smuggled out. And they tell him, you know, no, you can't do this because we have a mission for you. And basically they want him to infiltrate the other side of the wall. And there was some strange going on that they saw, and they wanted to have him go and investigate that. So, you know, without getting into too much more of the story, again, I don't know. You said you read this too. I don't know how you felt about this. I think it was pretty good. But no real, nothing revolutionary here. You know? I mean, it just felt like a very pedestrian plot, at least so far. You know, it, I didn't come away literally.
The people were pedestrians.
Yeah,
a lot of the talking was going on in the street.
Yeah,
Very much like, you know, your spy thriller,
right?
But I felt like it was missing the thriller part.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, obviously, again, this is just issue one, but issue one is supposed to be the thing that hooks you.
Well, I think the hook was supposed to be that they're leaving you with that unknown part.
Right.
You know, that, you know, if you read it, you'll find out. And it's not a huge hook, though. You're just like, you know.
Well, like
I don't
said,
know what to say about
story,
it without spoiling
I don't want to say the this is a cool idea. It's just something that we've seen a lot of already in lots of different mediums. And
yeah.
It's not to say that this can't be a great book, because it could be, because there's definitely some interesting stuff that's going on. It just, for a first issue, it didn't really seem to be breaking any new ground. You know, as I was going through and reading it, I wasn't surprised by anything. It just felt like something that, you know, I was very familiar with already.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily want to say don't pick it up, because I think it's I do think it's got an interesting idea. I just, like I said, don't look for anything super revolutionary when you when you're reading it.
No. No, and yeah, that's how I kind of felt reading it too. I read a bunch of books today. That was one.
I read a lot of books today, actually. Well, not all today, but I read pretty much every new book already.
So, did you read Dark Ark After the Flood?
No, I did not read that, because I read Dark Ark.
Okay.
And I didn't love it, so I didn't read. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Read this. Yeah.
So what was Dark Ark? I didn't read that, but I read this book. But I know that this is coming from that.
Well, it was really just kind of that. Like, you had Noah's Ark, basically. The premise
right.
of this is you have Noah's Ark. And Noah is bringing the pairs. We all know the story, right? The pairs of all
yep.
the animals through the flood. Well, the Dark Ark is basically the opposite. And they're taking all the mythical creatures also on the Ark. So you've got the vampires and unicorns and griffins and all this
okay.
other stuff. So that's all set up in Dark Ark. I didn't finish it. Like I said, I can't tell you the whole story. I only got about halfway through it. I just didn't really dig it, so I stopped
yeah.
reading it. But that was the setup and the premise of, you know, the story. So I don't know. I'm assuming After the Flood is after they've reached landfall after the flood and
yeah.
what happens there. So,
yeah, so I read.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, I read that, and it's pretty good.
Okay.
It's like there's two different sides. I think they're actually looking for Noah.
Okay.
in this one. They need to bring them. And it ends, put it this way, it ends before you want it to.
Okay.
So I was like kind of grabbed by the story. But I'm not really familiar with Dark Arc, so I was a little bit lost going through it.
Right.
Like, I don't know any of this backstory. But it's still a decent read. And, like, they use different art to tell each side of the story, right. Like different color palettes.
Yes. Well, they did that in the other story
okay.
as well.
Yeah.
You didn't see a whole lot of the other side, though, in Dark Arc. It pretty much, like, it only focused really on the, you know, the Dark Arc. But yeah, whenever they did cross over, you did see that, the changes in color palette as well.
So, yeah. So it, I mean, I can't really, I'm not raving about it, but yeah. It, you know, I got to the end of it and I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's not, I was expecting it to go on and it really wrapped up kind of quick. It's just like you turn the page and you're like, oh,
it's over.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it, there's more to come, but yeah, it was a decent story.
Cool.
And that's why I was like, you know, wanted to find out more of a backstory, maybe if that would help a little bit, but.
Well, it probably did. You know, I would imagine it probably would help a lot. Because there's a lot of story there that took place before they, you know, before the flood, you know, before
right, right.
the flood ended, so.
All right. Yeah, that one's by, what's that, Cullen Bunn?
Yes. Yeah.
Art by Juan Doe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you read anything else this week?
Well, I mean, I read a lot of books, actually.
How about, did you get through Daredevil?
I did, yep.
What'd you think?
Still loving Daredevil. I really liked it.
I'm loving it. I want it to progress a little faster now.
Yeah, yeah. I know how you feel, because I kind of am starting to feel the same way I feel about Nightwing with this, is that, you know, I get that he's
yeah.
having the crisis of conscience with being Daredevil, but I just want to see him be Daredevil again. So,
yeah.
You know, it feels like the show, in a way. Like,
yes.
The way he's dressed and the way he's set up, it's kind of like he looked on the
I've
Netflix
felt that.
Show.
I've felt that all along with the story, even
yeah.
like in the early story when like Spider-Man popped in, this is what we wanted in the show.
Right.
You know, it's like, how right. cool would that have been? I felt all along this had the Netflix show feel to it.
Right.
Very grounded, you know, like the show was. And now they're using similar costume design type deal.
Right.
So yeah, it's really good. I know you're, oh, let's quiz. Batman 80?
Yep.
Did you read that?
I did.
Yeah, that was really good.
It is, yes.
Very
yeah,
good
really,
story.
Really good. I hate the art.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, again, I do not like John Romita Jr.'s art at all.
But you're also not a fan of sketchy art either. Because
well,
Sherman, you didn't like his art either in that Mary Shelley?
Oh, yeah.
And I liked it.
I just don't think John Romita is a good artist at all. And it took me out of that book a bit because I
really?
Liked the story, but I think his art is terrible. And, you know, go back and listen to my Superman Year One speech. it's just more of the same. And, I don't know. For some reason, it just takes me out. It takes me out of the story because I really just dislike, and not to be super negative, but I just dislike his art a lot. And it really, I don't know why he's on this book right now. And I think hopefully he's just to fill in for this issue because, it definitely, like I said, took me out of it a little bit. But the story was really strong, I thought. I think it's a good
yeah.
issue. So.
All right. All right. We'll touch quickly on, do you have time to do any, spoiler after the show? And we could do, I was going to do House of X and, Deceased.
Not really. I really got to wrap
okay.
it up because I got to go eat.
All right, let's just do House of X then.
Yeah.
Spoiler free.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
House of X 6. You know, again, it wasn't as bomb dropping as the last issue.
Really?
I don't think it was, but I mean, it's still a great. Well, it wasn't like a red line issue. Like, it wasn't as big of a thing as the, you know, the last house, you know, house number five. But, you know, it just continues to be a great story. I mean, I really like, you know, I just really like where this is going. And I think I'm really looking forward to Power 6 next week. You know, I can't wait to see how they wrap it all up. But, I don't know. Another strong issue. Like I said, it didn't have quite, like, you know, again, we've mentioned that there was a couple of red line issues along the way that really dropped some bombs. This one didn't really revolutionize anything. It was more exposition on stuff we already knew.
But yeah.
I don't know. Again, I think it was a really good issue. So.
Yeah, I have a take. It's spoiler, though. So what we can do is at the end of we're going to be doing Joker on Monday, Monday episode.
We can do a
we'll do a spoiler of on Monday. We'll do a spoiler of House and of Deceased after that show.
Yeah, that'll give everybody the weekend to read it anyway.
Yeah, and then we could do it, you know.
We can just
lock
the
door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I thought it, I really did. I thought that book, that was a page turner. You give it any.
For
any,
sure, yeah.
I mean, I was, and there's a take I have on that I was really taken aback by.
Okay.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah,
really
we'll definitely talk
it.
About it for Monday's show.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to the whole. The next X-Men, too. I think what he's done is setting this all up is just, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. I can't wait for X-Men, actually.
You know. All right. I know you're in a hurry, so we'll get you off.
Okay, well, I'm not in that much of a hurry after all. I can stay for that. So...
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, let me rephrase that. We'll get you out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Don't cut that out.
I don't think I can. Yeah. I don't have that kind of time. All right. So, questions, comments, anything, hit us up on Twitter at @brightside_chat. Email us also at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes and any of your podcast platforms.
Yeah.
And go to nerdylegion.com. Subscribe there as well because we are proud members of the Nerdy Legion.
We are.
You got that giggle going there.
I know.
I saw it. Yeah. All right. We're in a hurry. We got to get John out of here. So. Yeah.
Gonna close
that
up.
That's it for this week. We will be back on Monday with our review, spoiler free, then spoilers galore for Joker.
Sounds good.
Looking forward to it?
I am, yeah. Can't wait. Got my tickets already.
Yep, me too. All right, we'll see you all on Monday.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.